year, at least one in four Americans is diagnosed with a heart condition. At that point, there are some very important decisions to make for your future. The harsh reality may be you are left with more questions than answers. This is where the Heart Rhythm Center podcast can help. We are your what, why, and how of palpitations, heart rhythm disorders, pacemakers, and defibrillators. Welcome your host, Dr. Jeffrey L. Williams, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. The information included in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended or implied to be professional medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice. Listeners should always consult their healthcare providers to determine the appropriateness of the information for their own situation, or if they have any questions regarding medical conditions or treatment plans.
Welcome to What Are Palpitations Podcast 11, Postoperative Care. Each electrophysiologist in practice will have slightly different postoperative care instructions, and it is important to check with your doctor regarding special instructions after electrophysiology or EP studies with or without ablations. The limitations and restrictions I generally recommend to patients following EP studies are summarized in this discussion. However, my postoperative care sometimes varies depending on a particular patient's medical problems. You should confirm activity limitations and restrictions with your doctor after the procedure. Care of the vascular access sites, especially with showering and bathing. Proper healing of the incision is critical to avoid infections of the vascular access sites after the EP study. For this reason, I recommend no tub baths or showers for 7 days after the EP study. The average duration of restriction ranges from 2 to 14 days. The patient should not get water, soap, ointments, or salves on or near the access sites during this time, unless instructed otherwise by the physician. Proper postoperative wound care is critical for a successful EP study, even if the arrhythmia was ablated. Once the access sites have healed during this initial period, the patient can begin showering, and any superficial bandages will begin to fall off on their own. It is normal for the access sites to be sore for several days to weeks after the EP study. There will be mild tenderness at the sites that should improve on a daily basis. If the pain is getting worse, or the sites get red, or more swollen, or feel hot, the patient should call the operating physician. The vast majority of my patients require only non-narcotic pain relief, such as Advil or Tylenol, after the procedure. A few patients may require narcotic pain relief. The site itself may look slightly red for the first several days, but it should get less and less red each day. If there is any increasing redness, warmth, or swelling, the operating physician should be notified. You may see some dried blood over the access site, and this can be normal. If bleeding persists, or if the site continues to ooze or leak fluid, the operating physician should be notified. The vascular access sites may have some small areas, less than the size of a pea, of firmness and mild soft tissue swelling, in a site that is healing normally. There should be no significant tension at the site. The groin site should not look like it is being stretched because of swelling underneath the skin. A groin hematoma is an abnormal collection of blood overlying the site where the blood vessel was entered, but underneath the incision, it looks like swelling. As long as there is no abnormal redness or tenderness, a small hematoma will usually heal slowly over the next several days to weeks. Again, any concern about the incision healing should be relayed to your doctor. Symptoms that should be reported immediately to a physician include the following: fevers or chills, incisional redness, warmth, tenderness or swelling, drainage or bleeding from the incision site, chest pain, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, hiccups or abnormal twitching of the muscles of the chest wall or rib cage, swelling in the arms, wrists, legs, or ankles, fainting, also called syncope, lightheadedness or dizziness, palpitations or fast racing heartbeat, severe weakness or fatigue, or any dramatic change or development of symptoms immediately following an EP study. Activity limitations. Patients should not do any vigorous exertion or lift more than 5 pounds for 1 week after the EP study. This activity limitation is more to allow the vascular access sites to heal rather than anything related to your heart. Clearly, contact sports and vigorous activities should be avoided during the first several weeks. You should ask your doctor about participating in any activity that may involve excessive jarring or trauma. Driving. I generally recommend that patients not drive until the first follow-up appointment which is normally 10 to 14 days after the EEP study. This allows me to make sure the vascular access sites are healing properly and the patient has recovered appropriately. Obviously, patients who experienced any alterations in consciousness, such as fainting, prior to receiving the EEP study, should not drive until their physicians deem it safe to do so. Each state is different. Pennsylvania law, for example, suggests that patients may drive after 6 months if the reason for their fainting or syncope can be fully explained, and they have no further episodes of syncope during this time. It is recommended that the patient not drive for 12 months from the last episode of fainting if no cause is identified. Please check with your doctor before you resume driving. The first follow-up appointment after the EEP study. A follow-up visit is usually arranged for 1 to 2 weeks after the EEP study. I have the patient return for a visit to assess the vascular access sites, symptoms, and medication tolerance, and continue the education process. After this initial visit, the patient will be scheduled for in-office evaluation and ongoing education at a frequency appropriate for the patient's particular condition. Each physician offers different follow-up options. Lifestyle considerations. One major concern for many arrhythmia patients is that symptoms will dramatically affect their lifestyles. Once temporary activity limitations are lifted, generally at 2 to 4 weeks, there are very few changes that need to be made. An important consideration for any arrhythmia patient is to plan for an exacerbation of arrhythmia issues when there is increased stress, decreased sleep, or use of caffeine, alcohol, or nicotine. I recommend that patients research hospitals and doctors in areas they will be visiting while traveling in case of emergency. Furthermore, it is important to ask your care provider if there are any medications that can be adjusted if there is an arrhythmia exacerbation while on vacation. This could be as simple as an extra or increased dose of beta blockers or calcium channel blockers. Thanks for listening to the postoperative care of arrhythmia patients, and I hope you'll join me for podcast 12, The Psychosocial Impact of Arrhythmias.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Rhythm Center. If you have enjoyed this episode and would like to access extensive explanations of topics discussed today, together with helpful illustrations, head over to www.heart-rhythm-center.com, where a full list of available publications on Amazon can be easily accessed. That's www.heart-rhythm-center.com. And please subscribe to the Heart Rhythm Center blog, as well as Dr. Williams' author page on Amazon, where his books discussing arrhythmias, pacemakers, and defibrillators are available in print and electronic Kindle versions.